Welcome to week 5 of the Original 11 podcast. We have a team now 4-0, breaking offensive records almost on a weekly basis, coming off a 66-7 win over Lehigh and now moving into the heart of the Ivy League season. On today's show, we will have T.J. Floyd coming off 3 interceptions in his last 3 games to talk about the defensive performance this season and this crazy shutout streak that they've put together. We'll start the show, as we always do, with Cody Cruchel, the voice of Princeton football. And let's look a little bit at the offense, since we have TJ talking defense. And, you know, it seemed hard, almost impossible, to kind of overshadow what they had done over the first 3 games. But, you know, besides the couple fumbles, you know, Saturday seemed like an almost flawless performance.
Yeah, and you don't have – it's not like you have the starters out there trying to run up the score and deep into the fourth quarter. You know, John Lovett and the starters came off the field early to midway in the third quarter, and then you didn't have Kevin Davidson. So this was your third and fourth string quarterbacks and, you know, guys like Trey Gray and Dylan Classy catching a touchdown pass and Andrew Griffin. And, you know, it's Princeton's second, third, and fourth string, and Lehigh, they've left their starting defense out there into the fourth quarter. So I feel like we've kind of described the prowess of this offense every way we can, but just another really impressive performance and showing off just how deep this team is, too. We talked about it last week. We talked about it with Bob Cerace last Thursday on his radio show. Guys who they hadn't worked into the offense yet. You didn't see Graham Adamitis catch a pass before this weekend. He had a couple of big catches. Tiger Besh had been non-existent outside of the return game. He hauls one in, goes 70 yards for a touchdown, and we kind of forgot about Tiger Besh, and apparently so did the Lehigh defense. There's still weapons that they haven't used. There's still looks they haven't shown. You know, really, the most impressive thing to me is just the number of different players that have contributed during the stretch.
You know, it seems a crazy thing to say, but this game was 7-7 at one point. You know, Lehigh scores a touchdown on a really pretty gutsy fourth down call in the red zone. And, you know, Princeton follows up, and, they, you know, their first 5 offensive drives, you know, they only score touchdowns on 2 of them, which when you think about scoring touchdowns on 40% of your drives, most teams would take that. But, you know, they finish the game with touchdowns on I think 7 of the last 9 drives, a field goal on another one. And, you know, when this offense – and we talked about this the previous week with Columbia because there was a little adversity there. But when this offense gets going, and I'm not sure exactly what it takes that last moment that it finally clicks, but when it gets going – It seems almost unstoppable.
And you want them to go through a little bit of that adversity because you get the feeling that when you get deep into league play and you play teams like Yale and you play teams like Dartmouth, you know, Penn and Harvard are never easy games. You know, you, at some point, it's not going to be a blowout with the third and fourth teamers in there late in the third quarter, and they're going to have to move the ball and they're going to have to pick up some tough yards. So kind of nice to get that test over the first couple of weeks. Columbia was the same way. It was a one-score game, and, you know, kind of early in that one. And with Lehigh, you got the same feeling. Okay, maybe they force a turnover. Okay, maybe this is a Lehigh team that is 1-3 just because they played such a tough schedule. And that was really encouraging, the way that the Princeton offense was able to put some quick separation and score in bunches and not just do it one different way. They're kind of throwing the full arsenal at you. And, you know, it's one of those things where now we're deep enough in the season where teams have film. It's not like Princeton's doing anything terribly tricky. Just teams haven't been able to stop it.
You know, the other thing about, you know, Princeton has had these long kind of time-consuming drives that, you know, no team in the country is running the ball quite like they are, and that's, you know, through Lovett and also, you know, mainly Colin Eady and Charlie Volker, but, you know, it's also the play of the offensive line. But that's what makes, you know, 70-yard touchdown passes to Tiger Besh such backbreakers, the long ones, the Horsted that we saw earlier in the season, that, you know, this is a team that really does want to and is very comfortable putting together the 9-play, 80-yard drive, but you can't kind of get into a defense that just protects against that because you know there's going to be a receiver going deep on almost every play, and John Lovett has shown – this is one of the things I wondered about him, because Chad Knopf last year had shown such an ability to throw that deep ball. I wondered if John Lovett would have it because it opens up the defense so much. And, man, he throws that ball almost as well as he throws any other ball. That deep ball just kind of comes down right to where the receiver is going, and he doesn't break stride. Those touchdowns, to me, seem just devastating to opposing teams.
The really impressive thing with John Lovett, and you know, we could do an entire show just on the impressive things about John Lovett, hasn't thrown an interception this year. And you look at the passes where he's been missing, he hasn't been missing where, you know, the defense has a chance to intercept it and take it back. He's been missing high out of bounds over a 6'4 receiver. He's been missing where if his receiver doesn't come down with it, then it's going to be incomplete. That's been really impressive. And then the other thing you look at, so last season, the last few games of the Tigers were missing all those bodies on defense and teams were just wearing them down. You talk about this offense with those 9, 10, 11 play drives. They're not going 11 plays in 8 minutes and 50 seconds. They're going 11 plays in, you know, to 2.5, 3 minutes. So they have the ability to sustain drives. And they have the number of weapons where they can move them in and out, and they have depth on the offensive line where they can move guys in and out. And they can put together an 11-play drive in 3 minutes and just completely wear down the defense, and you can't overlook that.
Let's say a little bit on defense, and in particular because of Saturday's matchup against Brown. You know, this is a Brown team that throws the ball more than probably any team that Princeton's going to see in the rest of the league season. Their top running back has 57 yards for the season. This is what kind of this Browns team, their identity. Michael McGovern already 162 attempts this season, you know, completing 50% of his passes. You know, again, this is going to come down to can Brown block a defensive line for Princeton that has just maybe more than any other unit has impressed me more, you know, this season. I've been, especially without Kurt Holuga playing, I thought, well, maybe this is a group that's not going to be able to get the same pass rush, at least this early in the season based on all the injuries. But, I mean, they are cycling 7, 8, 9 guys in this rotation, and the pressure they have gotten from the beginning of the first quarter through the fourth quarter, doesn't matter who's in there, quarterbacks are not getting any time to kind of survey the field and make throws. It's one decision, and boom.
Yeah, and Princeton, you look at the quarterbacks that they've played. Butler had an experienced signal caller who was coming off a couple of huge games. Monmouth has an all-conference signal caller in Kenji Bahar. Brad Mays for Lehigh was the best quarterback in the Patriot League last year by a pretty wide margin. So they've been getting pressure and flustering really good quarterbacks. As far as the running game, we talked about this a lot on the NBC Philly broadcast this past weekend. I don't know that there's a better running back in the country than Dom Bragg alone. And you look at the really good Ivy League teams this year, and the teams that are left on Princeton's schedule, their strength is running the football. Dartmouth this past weekend putting up almost 400 yards on the ground in that blowout win against Yale. Yale has guys like Zane Dudek and Alan Lamar. Harvard has Aaron Shampkin, who's has a 4-touchdown game, and Penn has a guy like Carrick and Brooks. So that was what I was really looking for. You know, we've seen Princeton do it against some really good receivers. They hadn't played that stud running back yet outside of Pete Guerrero with Monmouth. They just completely took Dom Bragg alone out of the game. You know, he was 2.5, 2.6 yards per carry, something like that. He was, according to 7 or 8 different publications last year, the top running back in the nation at the FCS level. Really impressive, and that's something that they struggled with last year, and teams exploited it. And I think that's going to make the difference when they get into those close games. To go out there and to be successful in the Ivy League this year, there's teams that can score a lot. You need to be able to stop the run, and that was the most impressive thing I took out of that Lehigh win on Saturday, how well they did against Dom Bragg alone.
Well, Brown is going to try to attack him through the air, you would think, and one of the key players on the Princeton defense this season has been the senior starting safety, T.J. Floyd. Floyd coming off the two-interception game in his Ivy League opener against Columbia. He's our guest this week, and let's hear from him right now.
T.J., you know, before you even get to this season, you know, you were part of, you know, one of the guys that was kind of left standing from that defensive unit that took so many hits last season. And, you know, you kind of suffered through that rough November. How much of a kind of bad taste in your mouth does a season like that, an ending like that, leave? And kind of how much did that fuel you guys over the next 8 to 9 months?
Yeah, and, you know, like you said, last season didn't quite end up how we wanted. You know, we started off pretty well, 5-1. And then, like you said, we had a pretty rough November where we had a bunch of games come down to the last few minutes of the game, and we couldn't quite end up on the side that we wanted to be. And, yeah, I mean, it definitely fueled the fire for the off season. You know, we took that put a chip on our shoulder, and we thought about that every day, you know, grinding in the weight room on the field. We took that into camp, and, you know, we think about it every day. And it's definitely something that, you know, we'd like to overcome. We have something to prove. We feel like we're a much better team than what we showed last year. And I think that we started off really well. And, you know, we can't let the success we've had so far, you know, get to us. You know, we got to keep grinding, keep thinking about, you know, like I said, we started off well last year as well. So we got to keep grinding, keep working. And it definitely is something that we look back on each and every day, and it definitely fuels our inspiration and our passion to keep working hard every day.
You know, you mentioned the chip on your shoulder. You know, is it a year ago, and you can't get the key defensive stop in the fourth quarter, and this year, through four games, you haven't given up a point in the second half. I mean, how much pride, you know, you want to win games and whatever it takes, but, like, it's becoming a thing now. How much pride do you take in that stat, not allowing a team to score in the fourth quarter, especially because, you know, for a good portion of the fourth quarter, you're on the bench, you know, the game is pretty much decided, and you're watching young guys kind of fill your shoes as a whole defense. I mean, how much pride do you take in what this team is doing to close games?
We definitely look back, you know, every weekend upon what we've done, and, you know, it's something that we're very proud of. You know, as you said, we haven't given up any points in the second half, and, you know, we'd like to keep that same intensity in the first half, but, you know, we're definitely proud of what we've done. You know, as a defense, we've had a really strong performance, and, you know, as you said, we got some guys, some younger guys coming in the fourth and third quarter, and, you know, it's awesome to see them get in there, and you see them do well, and it's just, you know, not only is it something that we can be proud of them about and they can be proud of themselves about, but we can look at that and be, you know, proud of what we can have in the future. You know, we see some young guys stepping up and making plays in those later parts of the game. But as you said, it's definitely something we take pride in, keeping those pretty good offenses scoreless in the second half.
This is your second year starting at the safety position. How much differently do you see the game now in year two as a starter with all that experience? Does it move slower? Can you anticipate more? I mean, what's changed for you this year?
So last year I had to step up and fill some pretty big shoes and Dorian Williams leaving and all. So, you know, it was a challenge for me because he was such a great player, and, you know, I struggled with my communication skills, and, you know, this year just being back there with Ben Ellis and Coach Kless working with me every day, you know, it's definitely brought me some more confidence, and, you know, I'm able to, you know, I know the defense a lot better, and I can focus more on just playing rather than, you know, the other aspects of it. So it's definitely, you know, being my second year starting, it's definitely slowed down a lot for me. And like you said, you know, I can start to anticipate plays more and just be better at making plays rather than worrying about other things.
You know, the defense, it's really been almost a by committee performance all season. You look at the stat sheets week by week, and it's, you know, it's just kind of shared responsibility throughout. You did have the game at Columbia, though, with the two interceptions in your Ivy League opener. How good does it feel to, you know, to have that kind of performance, especially, you know, it like I said, it's the defense done kind of so well together, but it's got to feel good to have a day like that, especially on national TV.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, it's a great feeling, you know. You know, I have my family back home, friends and family back home watching me, so it definitely felt great to make them proud and make them smile, you know, have them watch and be able to see me make some plays out there. But, yeah, like as you said, I'm just more proud of our defense as a whole. You know, my individual plays, I think, are overshadowed by what we did as a defense against a pretty good Columbia offense. And, yeah, at the end of the day, it was something that I was proud of myself for and something I really enjoyed.
Yeah, we're recording this Sunday night, so, you know, you probably haven't seen too much, if anything, on Brown. But the one thing, if you look at their, you know, box scores through the year, they have thrown the ball around a ton. How exciting as a defensive back is it to kind of go into a week where you feel like somebody's really going to try to throw the ball around on you?
Well, you know, it's definitely always exciting to know when you watch your opposing team and you see them slinging the ball around, because, you know, as a DB, that means you have the opportunity to make some plays out there. So, you know, knowing that Brown likes to throw it up, you know, I'm really excited about this week, and I think it should be a great game.
You know, you guys only get to play 10 games, so everyone matters in those three non-league games. What were great wins, and you could tell in the locker room how much they meant to you. But you know that your season's going to be measured on the seven Ivy League games. Can you feel something different right now, knowing that from here on out, it's nothing but Ivy League and you know, kind of that dream that you've had now of going for an Ivy League title this year, that, you know, the time is now.
Yeah, I mean, we started out our first four games, three being out of conference. You know, regardless of who the opponent is, you know, we approach every week the same way with the same intensity. But, you know, as you said, these in-conference games, they really mean something to the team, and the fact that, you know, we have to win these games to accomplish our goal. So, you know, as you said, there's more of a fire in everyone's eyes and more of an intensity to really work hard. As you know, the results of these games are going to determine, you know, what our team is going to be at the end of the year. So, you know, everyone is more focused, more locked in, and, you know, ready to go.
Thank you for listening to this week's edition of the Original 11. A reminder, Saturday's game will be at 1 p.m. at Princeton Stadium. Tickets are still available on GoPrincetonTigers.com. If you can't get to the game, you can watch it live on ESPN+. You can get every edition of the Original 11, as well as the Bob Cerace Show and every other episode from the Princeton Podcast Network by subscribing to Princeton Tigers on your favorite podcast device.